Keep yourself in the loop of everything football on the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. The latest news on and off the field, be it college football, Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC to the NFL. We've got you covered. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Hello, football fans, and welcome to the GSMC Football Podcast. We had a great week of football because there's so much to talk about. Thank God for miracles and kickers slipping and Bears chewing on Ram and other puns that I can't think of on the top of my head because I'm not talented. Anyways. Wow. Yeah, I just had a.
That's a great opening.
I had to let that one out. Anyways, welcome everybody. How are you today? I'm good. This is a great Monday. We got football tonight. We just had football yesterday. I'm in a good mood, and I finished the last night of Hanukkah. I'm in a good mood myself. How about you?
Yeah, minus the Hanukkah part.
But whoa!
I don't celebrate Hanukkah. It's nothing against Hanukkah.
Okay.
You just said you celebrated Hanukkah and you're in a good mood.
I'm
in a good mood minus the Hanukkah part.
Yeah. Okay. But it sounds like you were just having a good mood and then Hanukkah. It sounds like you said Hanukkah ruined it for me.
Nope. You just misinterpreted what
I
said.
I totally misinterpreted what you said. But everyone else that enjoyed Hanukkah, happy Hanukkah to you. And we're on the road to Christmas. And now we are talking about football because football is right now and Christmas is later. That made sense.
Yes.
Yes, it did.
This is true.
So
this is what, 2 weeks away? We're looking at.
Is it only 2 weeks away?
15 days. 2 weeks from now will be Christmas Eve.
Isn't that insane? I still need to go Christmas shopping. Do you?
I've done most of it thanks to my lovely wife. But I still have to.
Did you get anything for me?
I have to shop for her.
Oh.
For you?
Yeah.
No. Can't say that I have.
Well, I got something for you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You got something for me? Okay.
I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to wrap it up first and everything.
All right. You're going to wrap your middle finger up and then be like,
damn it. Open it. Anyways, let's get right into it. Well, you got to talk first things first. Miami versus New England.
Yes.
A 69-yard. I left when I caught coughing. A 69-yard walk-off.
Is that a choke job? Is that what you're referencing?
I honestly was not. I choked on a little bit of spit there. But anyways, I was saying that a 69-yard walk-off touchdown that was thrown to Stills was double lateral to Kenny and Drake,
mm-hmm.
and he ran the ball the rest of the way. And when he was running, it looked like he was looking for someone to lateral the ball to, and then he saw a wide open, and then he saw an opening. He was like, oh. I got to take advantage of this, and it just sprinted to the end zone. Fortunately, instead of having their best defensive player on the field, they had Gronk on the field. So he outran Gronk, who almost fell on his face, which was funny.
I think he did fall on his face. Didn't he, like, stumbled around?
He didn't fall on the ground like that cameraman did in that game.
Unbelievable, man. I know that Bill Belichick is known as a mastermind, intelligent, smart, but I don't know what they were thinking. I have no idea why you have Gronkowski on the field there and have McCourty sitting on the sideline, your best safety, maybe best defensive player. What's crazy is it's almost like the Patriots were expecting a Hail Mary there when we know that they weren't going to throw a Hail Mary there. There is no chance that that ball was going to get anywhere near the end zone in the air on one throw. So for me, it was mind-boggling, and it's a rare misstep in Bill Belichick's coaching career where he made a terrible, terrible gaffe in that situation. So what do you think?
I think they were looking more like this could be a Hail Mary, but Tannehill's not a guy that would throw the ball deep. He doesn't have that kind of arm. He's more of an accurate passer than anything else. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't going to throw the ball 80 yards in the air. I know that. You know, even if he threw the ball 60, 70 yards, he would have been well short of the end zone. So
yeah. So I
think it's a rare thing. It was I still think that like, for example, I think if it wasn't a Belichick team, if we were talking about, I don't know, even like a Sean McVay or another coach, that coach would be getting crushed today, in my opinion. Like, if that was a different coach, but because it's Belichick, no one's going to say anything, right? So,
it was weird. Yeah, definitely a weird instance in where Belichick just had a hiccup. I mean, one hiccup in one of his, well, he had that, remember that 4th-and-2 in the AFC playoffs against the Colts that one year. I believe that was 2006. So when this
was the longest touchdown to end a game in the Super Bowl era.
Yeah, which I wonder what happened before then that ended the game.
Oh, yeah, who knows? Maybe we have some black and white film.
I'm assuming they mean like end of regulation, a play, because there's been 90, like there's been kickoff returns for touchdowns and overtime.
To expire the clock, yes. Yeah. So where there are zeros on the clock when it's over.
Got it. Yeah, that makes sense. Because I was thinking, like, when they were saying that, I'm like, I kind of have to disagree because there's been a tons of kickoff returns that went for touchdowns. But I understand what they were going for, yes.
That was a huge win for Miami. It keeps
them their playoff hopes alive.
Yeah, it keeps them in the thick of it. They're now tied.
They got to keep wearing those jerseys now. That's got to be, yeah. And those are much better than their actual ones. But, yeah.
Yeah, so it keeps them in it. It keeps them on pace with some other teams we just mentioned, like the Colts, like the Titans, like the Baltimore Ravens. So
you think the Titans still have a shot?
They won. They're 7-6.
I know, but do you honestly think they have a shot? That's an actual question.
I do, because their schedule allows them the opportunity to make it.
Yeah, they barely made it last year, and they honestly are a better team this year than they were last year. Honestly, their last year team was not good.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest with you, yeah.
So I want to talk about the Bears and the Rams last night, Sunday Night Football in Chicago, the Monsters of the Midway, showing that they might still be the Monsters of the Midway, an impressive defensive performance in a very, very big struggle for the Rams. Even the Bears struggled. Both teams could not put a lot of points up. 15-6 is your final score, which is an incredibly low football game, especially for two teams that have the capability to score points. Like these two, we all know about the Rams. They need no introduction. The Bears at times can score a lot of points as well.
Oh, well, Trubisky's thrown multiple, like, 4 touchdown games. Like, mm-hmm. He's had experience in that factor before, but this was all defense 99% of the way. Like, there was that one touchdown.
Jared Goff was just rattled. He was hit. He threw 4 picks.
7 combined interceptions, though, for both of them, because Trubisky also had 3 interceptions himself.
My favorite one was when Trubisky threw the pick, and the next play, Goff threw the pick right back, and they were in the red zone. It's
like playing Madden. You know what I mean? You throw the ball deep, it gets picked off, then someone out, then your opponent throws the deep, you pick it off. It's like, oh, that was just all pointless.
Yeah, exactly. So, It's actually pretty good win for the Bears, but I will say at the beginning of that game, at the end of the game, I was actually feeling less confident in the Bears' chances of winning the Super Bowl this year than I was before the game. And I know that sounds a little bit different or a little bit wild to say
backwards,
because they beat the Rams, but my feeling was they should have won that game by 3 or 4 touchdowns. The way that the Rams played, they scored 6 points. The way that Rams defense has played this year, even with Aaron Donald, gives up points. And I just thought, wow, the Bears should have won this game easily, not, you know, trying to secure the game late in the fourth quarter. But they were at home, and I don't think they'll have the opportunity to win a game like this in the playoffs at home, because as it stands now, unless something weird, very weird happens, the only chance for the Bears to win a Super Bowl is to go to New Orleans or go to Los Angeles and beat those teams, or maybe both. I guess they could get lucky and play on the road for one and then host a playoff game. But I don't feel confident in that offense traveling, and I don't feel confident in a defense, even their defense, being able to stop a potent offense like the Rams or the Saints in their house to under 20, 24 points. I think what we saw last night was just a great game by the Bears defense at home and a team that's not used to playing in the cold. I think it showed there, but that's just my
opinion. So weather played a factor in this more than people realize.
You know, I think weather plays a factor, especially for quarterbacks. And it's nothing against Jared Goff, but he's a Bay Area kid in California who played in the Bay Area in California in college. He plays in Los Angeles. How many times a year does he play in cold weather? How many times does he even play in a cold weather city, first off? And when he does, it's mostly indoors. So it's not like he's playing a lot of outdoor games in this weather. I'm not making an excuse for him. He played a bad game. The Bears defense played a great game. But the next time these teams play, if they meet up in the playoffs, it'll be in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And obviously Goff is used to the sunny L.A. area. I mean, he played at Cal. He's played in L.A. Rams. He's in a team. He's on a Western Conference. He's on a Western Division team where everyone except for one team is in the in California.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry, that's wrong. There's two teams in California and one team in Arizona, which is just as sunny. And Seattle's probably the worst weather games he usually plays in, and they're not that bad compared to Chicago.
Yeah, and depending on when he plays Seattle, it could be a nice sunny warm afternoon too. You know, so it's one of those things where, yes, the Bears are impressive. I really like what they're doing. I think Matt Nagy's a great coach, one of the brightest minds in the NFL. Totally love the hire. Their season has been spectacular, but they got to make that next step if they're going to win a playoff game on the road. Like, that offense has to take a next step. Trubisky can't play like he did last night. They can't rely on Jordan Howard to just grind it out for four quarters, you know? So mm-hmm. A rare off game for Todd Gurley, for Jared Goff, but the Rams, they're still right on track to get a first-round bye in a home playoff game, so we'll see what happens. What's the next game you want to talk about?
Well, I think Pittsburgh versus Oakland is a game that we need to talk about.
Yes. Interesting result there, huh?
Probably the most interesting. Like, you think Miami and New England was interesting. This one was just as interesting, in my opinion. So the game was, there was a score quickly, there was a score late in the game by the Raiders, and it was like, oh, okay, so it's 24-21, they have a chance to win this game. Little hook and ladder by Pittsburgh. Juju Smith-Schuster, with a great game himself, ran to about the 25-yard line, I would say. So it was like an extra point, basically. And for a kicker that's on Pittsburgh, who kicks at Heinz Field, which is never the best field conditions or weather, you think, oh, this is a no-brainer. He's going to make it. Plants his non-kicking foot to get ready for the kick, slips, kicks the ball as he's slipping, hits his own lineman in the tuchus, and the game is over in the tuchus.
I never heard that.
You never heard? You ever seen dodgeball?
I have.
Right in the tuchus. You never heard him say that?
Can't recall it.
Oh, well, you got to watch dodgeball again. It was when the Globo Gym Purple Cobras were facing the Globo versus the Average Cotton. Joe's gym. Huh?
That's a bold strategy, Kyle.
Come on, let's see if it pays off. Oh, that was probably my favorite line in the whole. I think that's everyone's favorite line in the whole movie.
Jason Bateman was good.
Do you love the memes of that where, like, it's like, oh, where the Raiders traded Amari Cooper? Like, it's a bold move, Cotton. See if it pays off for him.
Yep.
I love that stuff.
It's always a meme that won't go away.
Oh, I hope it doesn't. It's a great meme. Probably one of my favorites. Probably my favorite.
Especially if the Raiders keep trading away first-round talent. So maybe.
Yeah, four first-round picks, ironically enough. Anyways, moving on. We're going to talk about the Raiders and Steelers still. This gave the Raiders a win. But in winning,
John Gruden was pumped.
He was more ecstatic than anyone else in the
universe.
He looked like
he was like, see, this is why they brought me here. You know?
It's like they won the Super Bowl.
He was going over shaking hands with the fans after the game in the black hole.
In this win, they actually lost because they are now the third overall pick in the draft instead of second. And if they lost this game due to the Niners winning, they would have the first pick in the draft.
Yeah, they needed a win though. I think. I mean, I get it. Like, you want to have the first pick in the first round, but it was a fun game for them. It was nice to give their fans something. It was at home, you know. So, but we got to talk about the Steelers. I'll talk about it first off. I don't know how Ben Roethlisberger gets hurt in this game. goes in the locker room, is in the locker room to start the second half, then comes back out and watches from the sideline, then gets put back in the fourth quarter when they go down. In my opinion, if he was healthy enough to play, he should have been out there and playing. I don't really understand him being out there and healthy enough to play, but only if they need him late in the game. They really hadn't a chance here. With the Patriots losing, with the Ravens losing, the Steelers had a great opportunity to get a win, to push themselves in the conversation for home playoff game and first round bye. Now with this loss, they don't improve their status. In fact, the Ravens are still breathing down their neck. And you look at their next three games, they play the Patriots and the Saints in their next two.
I can see them losing all three of their next games.
They play the Bengals to end the season, so they definitely have the advantage.
Oh, there. Well, Hugh Jackson's their coach, one of their coaches, so they're bound to lose, right? That's like their destiny now?
You would think so.
Well, the thing is with the Bengals is ever since they've had Hugh Jackson, they've been losing. They have not won a game with Hugh Jackson as one of their coaches. So apparently Hugh Jackson just can't win regardless. He could be on he could probably coach the NBA dream team from the 90s with Michael Jordan, and they would still lose.
So the Steelers, I will say this. I know this sounds crazy, but they may not make the playoffs. There's a chance if they lose two of their last three that they could be on the outside looking in. Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty weird, but it's just been the Pittsburgh season. It's kind of back and forth, hasn't it?
That tie is actually helping them right now, because if they had lost that game, they'd be 7-6 with about four other teams in the AFC. So that tie is actually keeping them above. A tie that the Colts didn't want. I think the Colts would like that tie back if they could have the opportunity to at this point. But regardless, yeah, the Steelers, man, I don't know what to make of them. Very disappointing. They don't seem like they're going in the right direction. They really don't.
Yeah, it's they're going beep 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 beep. Get it? Because it's like a truck going backwards.
They've lost three in a row. They lost to the Broncos, the Chargers, and now the Raiders. That's not great.
That's not great at all, actually.
Yeah. So they will be on the afternoon game on CBS next week against Tom Brady and the Patriots, who are also coming off a loss. So you know that they'll be all geeked up for that game. It'll be home. It'll be at Pittsburgh. So it gives them an opportunity there to play at home. We all know that they play better at home, but they just lost that primetime game against the Chargers at home. So we'll see what happens. Why don't we move ahead to the Cowboys and the Eagles? So yesterday, it was the Fox game of the week. The Eagles had been talking a little bit going into the game. We know that it was a big game for them in their right, as they are looking to stay alive in the playoff push, and they fall short. The Cowboys win in overtime. Amari Cooper just went off. I mean, this guy has been playing great ball for the Cowboys since they acquired him for that aforementioned first round pick. And you know what? It's been paying off. The Cowboys are now 5-1 with them. They're playing, again, very, very good football. They win. They pretty much wrap up the division with this win, because now they have a two-game lead and a tiebreaker. So they would have to lose out, and the Eagles would have to win out for the Cowboys not to win the division.
Anything is possible.
And with the Redskins on a four-game losing streak.
I mean, have you heard Kevin Garnett ever? Anything is possible. Does anyone actually remember that?
And with the Redskins done, I mean, this division's over. The Cowboys are now looking at a 3 or 4 seed. They will be hosting a playoff game. We don't know who, but tonight, actually, the Vikings and the Seahawks could be a preview of one of the teams that the Cowboys will be hosting. It looks like it will be one of these two teams for sure. So tonight's going to be interesting for Cowboys fans. If you're watching out there, take a look at the Vikings and the Seahawks. See how you match up against both these teams. Maybe you'll decide which team you'd rather play in Jerry's World in Arlington, Texas. But, man, it was a good win for the Cowboys. Ugly win. I think Dak Prescott got bailed out in that game a few times. Ezekiel Elliott had another strong game, as he usually does against the Eagles. Amari Cooper, though.
His hair is starting to get the better of him, though.
Amari Cooper had three touchdowns in this game, including the game winner, the walk-off off a deflected pass. He snatches it out of the air. That was after he had a 75-yard touchdown reception. Big game for Amari, and he's proving Jerry right. He's proving Jerry right as the days go on that first-round pick was well worth it. He's still a very young receiver, and, you know, I think Jerry Jones is waking up today with a big smile on his face.
Yeah, and when this trade first happened for the first-round pick, we were like, are you kidding? You traded a first-round pick for a guy that hasn't really done much in the NFL? Like, he hasn't risen up to the potential of a first-round wide receiver draft pick, and he's playing like he's the best in the league. I just don't understand what – I guess it's just a matter of coaching or a matter of changing. Sometimes change of scenery really benefits players.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we can all say that as of right now. And even looking forward, you got a young receiver who is flashing the potential to, at any game, go for 150, 200 yards. Even with the Oakland Raiders, Amari Cooper had some brilliant games. Yeah, he had a lot of inconsistent games, many games where he didn't really do much at all. But when you look at it now, you have to wonder, was it the Raiders or was it Amari Cooper? And as we look at it, I think it was just the Raiders.
Yeah, well, the Raiders are one of the bad luck type of organization for the last 20 years. Maybe, or just, I think it's one of those things in where it just sometimes, like I said before, the change of scenery benefits the player. Like, you've seen so many times where a guy gets traded and he has just this revitalized career.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of them, I think. And I think he's probably thinking his lucky stars. He got traded to the Dallas Cowboys.
Big time.
And the Raider fans are probably crying, which I kind of don't blame them.
Yeah, he couldn't have made out better. He's getting to go to a team that's going to the playoffs. He's playing for the Cowboys, which, you know, that's a big brand. Mm-hmm. He gets to be on national TV a lot. He gets to be in the limelight, in the spotlight, and he's showing out. So it's got to be fun for Amari Cooper. The Cowboys really believed in him, and he's rewarding them. So I think we need to go to a little bit of a break here.
Yeah, sure, we can go for a break. But ever thought about getting gifts for those loved ones, especially the men in your lives? Is it hard to get?
I still have to shop for my father, actually.
Oh, I think I have something for you.
Really? He's really tough to find gifts for. Every year is a struggle to find.
Does he have a long beard?
No.
Does he need something?
He likes to keep it, you know, tight.
Clean?
Yeah.
Well, I got something for you. Harry's Shave Set might be the gift for you, my friends. Not just for Mark, but all you guys, too. Harry's is a long-lasting quality product at a super reasonable price. Harry's is a German-engineered blade for as low as $2 each. It's a practical gift he'll actually use and save him money on blade refills, and we all know how expensive those are. As a special offer for fans of this show, we partner with Harry's Shave Set to give you $5 off any shave set, including our limited edition holiday sets, when you go to harrys.com/GSMCfootball. Plus, you will get free shipping. This offer is for new and returning customers, and it's only available for the holidays, so better hurry. Each Harry's Shave Set comes with an ergonomic weighted handle with an option to engrave, German-engineered Vi-Blade cartridges that provide a close, comfortable shave, a foaming shave gel for a rich lather, a travel cover to protect your blades, a handsome holiday gift box, or you just want something for yourself? Redeem a Harry's trial offer to experience the quality of shave before committing. Get your holiday shopping done early. Free shipping ends on December 12th. That's in 2 days, people, so act now. Go to harrys.com/GSMCfootball to get $5 off a shave set while supplies last. That's harrys.com/GSMCfootball.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Brought to you by Washington Target Zero.
Welcome back, all you football fans. I don't know why I'm sounding like Dracula, but whatever. Welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. We just heard talking about the NFL Week 14 matchups that have happened. We are at the end of the road. Playoffs are in our grasp. We are so close. What other games do you have to talk about?
Chiefs-Ravens yesterday, a super exciting game that saw rookie Lamar Jackson go in Arrowhead Stadium to face Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs' offense. We all know no Kareem Hunt, but still with Mahomes, with Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, a formidable offense and one of the best in the league. This game came down all the way to overtime, though. Mahomes led the Chiefs on a drive to end regulation, send the game in OT. But we saw a missed field goal that forced the overtime period. And in that period, we saw just a masterclass from Mahomes in that offense. They go down, they get the 3 points that they need, and they win the game. So with that being said, what was your take from this game? Were you impressed with the Ravens, even in a loss?
Yeah, but they kind of also got a little lucky with that missed field goal at the end of the game, which was kind of like a chip shot to go into overtime. Because let's face it, Lamar Jackson almost kind of cost him the game with that costly interception at the end there. But I will say that he's shown me a lot of promise that a couple more years in development and he could be a top player in this league.
Yeah, absolutely he could.
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson. I thought this game going in was going to be close, but I did see the Chiefs pulling away. I didn't think that the Ravens would be able to score with the Chiefs. But I have to say, with that ball control offense and that defense, they made life tough. The Ravens are kind of like the Bears, right? Like they're a great defense. Their offense does just enough to win games. They have a quarterback that likes to control the ball with his feet, with his legs. And you have a running game that basically that's what they are. The Ravens will run. They'll set up the pass, but they're mostly a running team. But you know the Chiefs, they get this win. They stay atop. And for them, with the teams around them losing yesterday in the AFC, this really bolsters their chance for having that first round bye. But you know what? The Chargers are right behind them, and they play this Thursday night. We'll talk about that game more as the week goes on. But they could lose this game on Thursday and then find themselves in a wild card spot. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, you're crazy. What do you talk? You're so crazy. You're crazy, crazy, crazy pants.
The Chiefs have secured a playoff spot, though. They have clinched, but like I said, they could end up being a wild card team because of how good the Chargers have been. We don't really talk about it, but the Chargers have been on their tail this whole time. So, could you imagine?
I'd be shocked, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it goes right now, it's KC, and then the Chargers, and then you got a couple of four-loss teams, the Patriots and the Texans, and then you look at the AFC North with Pittsburgh and Baltimore. But with the Chiefs, though, I'm concerned, man. I'll be honest with you. I had them, I think, fourth or fifth in the power rankings this week, dropping from one. The loss to Kareem Hunt can't be understated because their running back, Spencer Ware, Damian Williams, they're decent players, but they just don't have that dynamic capability like a Kareem Hunt does. So
people are saying they should re-sign him again, which I'm like, you know why he wasn't just fired for the domestic violence. He was fired or released because he lied to the front office about the incident. They didn't know about what happened, and he lied to them, which you don't lie to the guy signing your paychecks. I'm sorry, you don't, especially in a league – in a job where you can lose your job at any given moment. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I just would have said, like, that's maybe too risky.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Chiefs win, though, and the Ravens are still right behind the Steelers. Since the Steelers lost to Oakland, it really didn't change much for the Ravens going forward. So they have an opportunity to win the division still. Anyways, would you like to talk about the Colts and Texans now?
Yes, because the Texans were on a 9-game winning streak heading into this game against Indianapolis, and I thought the Texans were going to take this victory in a close, tight matchup, but it was a close, tight matchup, but it was the Colts who came out with the victory, ending the 9-game winning streak of the Houston Texans, putting them into a comfortable spot that might lead to a playoff spot. The game was 24-21. Andrew Luck had 399 yards passing, which is actually pretty good, all things considered. But my question is, he threw the ball 41 times. He's still coming off that shoulder injury. Do you think they're using him way, way too much still?
I think they have to use him the way that they're using him, honestly. And he's not showing any signs of slowing down. He's actually having a great season.
And T.Y. Hilton as well is having a great season. I mean, they both are a big, dangerous 1-2 punch.
T.Y. Hilton at 199.
And Eric Ebron, and having a career year for him, too. I mean, this Colts team looks completely different than they were last year. I mean, that's what you get for firing a questionable general manager who is signing these guys who are, like, ARP members left and right. I mean, Andre Johnson and Frank Gore. I mean, those guys were at the end of their careers. I don't know what they were going to do to benefit the team, but
We saw the Colts have a commitment to rebuilding that offensive line, and it's paying off.
It only took two or three years to actually admit their offensive line was terrible. But yeah,
we even saw J.J. Watt and Clowney and those guys. They make plays, but when you have an offensive line that gives your quarterback a chance, like their offensive line is giving Luck a chance. We see great things happening. You have a great quarterback like Andrew Luck, a smart quarterback who can get rid of the football, be accurate. When he's not throwing with two, three defenders in his face, he's deadly. He might be one of the best in the NFL, actually, with a clean pocket. So he has been playing great. It's great to see him coming back from recovering from that shoulder issue that looked like it could affect his career. I mean, he was out of football for a while, but man, the Colts are right there, Jeff. I mean, yeah, they had a slip up last week, but other than that, this team, I think they're a playoff team. I really think that they'll be the team that gets the last spot in the AFC.
Yeah. Do you think there's hope? Do you consider it hope, or do you consider, like, this team can, like, maybe if they don't make it this year, next year?
Oh, yeah, they're on the right track for sure.
Okay.
They're seven and six. This week they host the Dallas Cowboys. That'll be a big game. And then they play the Giants. They host the Giants, and then they're at Tennessee to end the season. I could see that Tennessee game. Possibly being for the last wild card spot, like a win and in type of thing. It could possibly be. I like the Colts in all three of these games. I know you're saying the Cowboys game. Yes, the Cowboys have been playing well, but I think the Colts will win this weekend against the Cowboys.
I mean, the Colts are a good team. They have a good offense. Their defense is starting to play consistently well. They're stopping on big plays, and you know, bottom line is the Colts. This is not the same Colts we saw last year, who were almost like a joke. You know. This is a different team here.
It's crazy they were shut out a week ago. Like, what a difference a week makes.
Yeah, but that was also just one of the... Like, sometimes you just have those off days. But that was, like... That game last week was basically every week last year. You know, just how they played. So, I'll take one loss like that over 14, how many areas they had the year before, any day of the week.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, that's just how I see it, at least.
Yeah. The Colts again, they host the Dallas Cowboys. So that's going to be a good game. A game between two teams that are hot right now.
And two teams with the color blue in their jerseys, which is going to be confusing.
Yeah. All right. So let's go on to some other games that happened. Very quickly. The 49ers defeating the Broncos. I think that pretty much ends the Broncos season. They needed that win against a struggling 49ers team that was the worst record heading into yesterday. I mean, I don't know what to say about the Broncos. They lose 20 to 14. They were down early. They were shut out at halftime. They made it interesting at the end. But again, it's a disappointing loss. I wonder if that's the loss that will send Vance Joseph packing. What do you think?
Probably. Depends on how they finish, though, in my opinion. I think if they finish well, if they finish with a couple more wins, then he'll say, all right, one more chance. But if they lose, I think, two of these last three games, then it's over for him.
The Packers rebound to win 34-20 over the Falcons. I thought that game was going to be close. I was very concerned about the Packers, you know, with the new coach and everything. Joe Philbin actually blew both of his challenges on the first drive of the game, which I thought was very interesting. I was like, wow, that's a great way to start your head coaching stint for the Packers.
That must be like a first time that's ever happened. Like, your first drive, you challenged twice?
I think he got a little screwed on the first one, but the second one was no need for him to challenge, in my opinion.
He was like, I have a red flag now. This is awesome.
Yeah, he was like trigger happy.
Maybe he thought it was a yellow flag trying to get penalties to the other team. He was like, oops, that was a red flag.
But Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay, they win comfortably at home. The Jets, they go into Buffalo. They get a win 27-23, a very back-and-forth game. Surprising. You wouldn't expect this game to have 50 points scored in it and the Rams game to have 21 total points scored in it. But that's exactly what happened. And as we know in the NFL, these weird things.
We are in an alternate universe. Nothing is real. Up is down. Left is right. Green is blue.
So the Jets get a win there. The Bills fall to 4-9. The Jets improve to 4-9. Browns and Panthers. That was an interesting game. The Panthers continue their free fall.
And I'm free.
And the Browns are free of you, and they keep winning games.
Free falling, now I'm free fall. Yeah, I had to.
The Browns are still in playoff contention. They're at 5-7-1.
You know, since the Bengals hired Hugh Jackson, they have not won a game. Coincidence? I think not.
Well, the Panthers have now lost five straight games.
They were looking to be like a top team in the NFC not too long ago. Isn't that incredible how things just completely turn a corner?
They were 6-2. They are now 6-7.
That's got to be one of the biggest collapses in recent memory.
I think Cam's hurt, man. I really do. I don't think they'll admit it, but he's he looks different.
You know, when you think of big collapses in NFL history, 6-2 is a big one.
Yeah.
It's a great record. Like, you shouldn't be losing every single game after that.
Big time.
So, yeah, very disappointing for Panthers.
It's very disappointing,
but you know, what's not disappointing is getting a great gift for the holidays, something that you need, right? Like a practical gift that solves a problem. And with Harry's, they do exactly that. We're talking about long-lasting shaving products at super reasonable prices. As a special offer for fans of the show, we've partnered with Harry's to give you $5 off any shave set, including our limited edition holiday sets. When you go to harrys.com/GSMCFootball, plus you'll get free shipping. This offers for new and returning customers and is only available for the holidays. Each Harry shaving set comes with an ergonomic weighted handle, German-engineered five-blade cartridges that provide a close, comfortable shave, foaming shave gel for a rich lather, a travel cover to protect those blades, and it comes in a simple and handsome holiday gift box. Maybe you just want something for yourself. Redeem a Harry's trial offer to experience the quality of shave before committing. Get your holiday shopping done early. Free shipping ends on December 12th, so act now. We're only a couple days away. Go to harrys.com/GSMCFootball to get a $5 off shave set while supplies last. That's harrys.com/GSMCFootball.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Brought to you.
Welcome back to the GSMC football podcast. We're going to finish up talking about the games that happened yesterday. What game are we going to next, my friend?
The New Orleans Saints defeat the Buccaneers 28-14.
In a pretty low-scoring game for them, all things considered.
Yeah, the Bucs had a 14-3 halftime lead. They looked good early, but man, the Saints rally. They come back. Not a great win for the Saints. I think their win was a lot like the field conditions, which would be very sloppy. A lot of rain.
I see what you did there.
A lot of rain happened in the day, 24 hours before the game. Over an inch of rain hit the field, so it made it a little bit wet out there. But all things considered, the field held up nicely. Drew Brees and the Saints win 28-14. Are you concerned about the Saints? They haven't been, you know, they lost last week. They went ugly, in my opinion, yesterday. Mm-hmm. Their luster has been lost a little bit, right?
Yeah, a little bit. And that's pretty disappointing, all things considered, too. Mm-hmm. Because this team looked like it had so much potential, didn't it?
Yeah, like, I mean, they're still, I think, the team. They're either 1A or 1B in the NFC.
Yeah, but this doesn't look good. I don't like how it looks.
Speaking of not looking good, the Redskins and their new offense looked not good. I guess that's probably the nicest way you could say it. They lose 40-16 against the Giants. This game was over early. Saquon Barkley went absolutely nuts, of course, because he's Saquon Barkley, and that's just what he does. But the Redskins
offense...
Would
you call him the best running back in the league right now?
He's up there.
You could debate it.
He's up there.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, he has to be. I mean, I know he's a rookie, but still, I mean, look at him play. The guy is a playmaker, a runner, a pass receiver. It doesn't matter. Get the ball in his hands. Let him go to work. And that's what the Giants did yesterday. The Redskins, though, Mark Sanchez, they benched him after a terrible three quarters. They replaced him with Josh Johnson, and Josh Johnson is now the Redskins starter. They have named him starter.
You're kidding.
And Josh Johnson said that he used the help of Madden 19 to learn his teammates. No, he said that. He used Madden 19 so he could get up to speed on who his teammates were.
I don't know what to say. That is the most shocking. For an NFL player to do that, regardless of position, is incredible to me.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, right? So
I've never heard of that. That's like an NFL coach going, I need new plays. Let's go on Madden and check it out. That's like remember that movie, what's it called? The Comebacks?
I don't know.
It was a spoof sports movie with it was basically like a date movie and all those movies, but just for football, for sports. And the coach was like, he knows all our plays. How does he know our plays? And he's like, all right, I've been using my plays for years. He turns off the Xbox behind him. He goes, someone's got to go outside the Xbox. That's basically what's happening here.
So we looked at the Chargers-Bengals. The Chargers 26-21.
Do you think Hugh Jackson uses Madden 19 to figure out stuff, game plans and stuff?
You think
he plays online and sees guys throwing the ball like 30, 40 times or 80 times a game?
I think the Bengals fans are hoping that Hugh Jackson goes back to Cleveland.
He's going to be their new head coach, isn't he?
He might.
That's a scary possibility.
That would be fun, man. That would be really fun.
For everybody except the Bengals fans.
It'd be fun for Browns fans, that's for sure. Because they probably got, crapped on for
Browns
all those
fans
years.
Would get such a kick out of that. Are you kidding me?
Like Bengals being like, haha, at least Hugh's not our coach. And they'd be like, yes, he is. He actually is your coach.
Karma. Well, Marvin Lewis is their coach. There's nothing really better than that.
Browns
not
fans
better.
Would be digging up old tweets and being like, huh, these didn't age well for all these Bengals fans talking trash. So
yeah, I think it's great how it just Bengals fans, they had Marvin Lewis who was bad in his own right, who needed to be fired. And now not only will he leave and go, oh, thank God that he left, they get a worse coach in Hugh Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
God bless football. Sometimes it just... The football gods sometimes give us an entertaining story, and that is a very entertaining situation in Cincinnati for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Bengals, though, they played well, I think. 26-21 is a lot closer than most people would have given them credit for going into the game. So, you know, I thought Jeff Driscoll did some good things there. They were competitive.
I'm not going to lie. I looked up who Jeff Driscoll was during that game.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, who is this guy? I've heard of him, but...
I think he was a draft pick by Chip Kelly in the 49ers.
Yes, he was. He was at Louisiana Tech. didn't play a game. I think he played in the preseason, but that's it. And now he's the starting quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals in Marvin Lewis. Mm-hmm. So funny how things work out.
Yeah, absolutely. So Lions played the Cardinals in a game that I don't think anybody watched unless you were in the stadium. 17-3, the Lions win. A big pick six happens in that game, and that's ultimately all that they needed because the Cardinals couldn't get out of their own way. They only scored 3 points. You know, I didn't think the Cardinals were the worst team in the NFL, but after scoring 3 against the Lions and losing to them like that, I might have to change my mind. Who knows? But yeah, Jeff, let's talk about Monday Night Football.
Are you ready for some football? Monday Night Party! I am so ready.
So the Vikings, they will travel to the Pacific Northwest and face Seattle. We know how tough it is to play in Seattle. It's been a fortress since Pete Carroll has been there. I mean, it's been such a difficult place for opponents to come in and win football games. Do you think that we will see Seattle really do some damage today and really put a claim that they're one of the better teams in the league?
Well, to be honest, I think they need to really savor to get a playoff spot right now, because I think that's what's on the line in this game is a potential wild.
If they win this game, I think they don't technically clinch, but they would pretty much clinch a wild card spot because they would separate the gap between 5 and 6.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a must-win game for both teams, I feel like, isn't it? Positioning.
I mean, it's not must win for either one. They're both in good positions.
Well, just like because they're both in the wild card spots now, but losing this game would definitely put them in a negative outlook going into next week and possibly losing that wild card spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
it's a fragile game. It's a fragile game to lose.
Absolutely, absolutely. Do you give the Vikings a chance in this game, or how do you see the game kind of going?
Well, Kirk Cousins has been struggling recently. That's going to play a factor in this, but I just think this game could go either way. I'm giving the edge to Seattle on this one because it's in Seattle, and that just home field advantage is something else. But I'm saying the Vikings will give up a fight. So give me a 28-24 victory for Seattle over Minnesota. Wow, my brain just flatlined for a second.
28-24. Yeah, that should be a fun game too. Like, that would be an exciting score.
Not too much scoring, but enough scoring.
Yeah, I mean, I was gonna take Seattle if I'm being honest, but I could see Kirk Cousins having a good game tonight. I think that there's a statement game to be had. Kind of lost in Seattle's dominant win against the 49ers last week was how good the passing game looked against Seattle, surprisingly. And with Thielen and Stephon Diggs, I think there's an opportunity there for Cousins. Stephon Diggs could be able to get open. He could make some plays happen. We saw what last week with Dante Pettis and the 49ers, some slant routes, some yards after the catch. Diggs is even a better athlete than Dante Pettis is. So I don't know how injured he is. I know he's not on the injury report with his knee. He was on the injury report last week. But I could see Stephon Diggs on that turf being a factor. And for that, I actually give the edge to Minnesota 30-28. I think they win.
So we both say this could be a close game.
Yeah, I think they win late. I could even see a game-winning field goal by Dan Bailey to give Minnesota the edge.
How kickers have been kicking this week? That's asking a lot.
Oh yeah, it's a shaky proposition, especially for Dan Bailey, who's had his issues. He's no stranger to issues. So we will see what happens, man. Is there any chance that this game could be boring or go a completely different way?
Anything's possible, really. And I can see this being a defensive battle, but I see more the long lines of this is going to be two teams that are going to pass the ball and try to make big plays, and the last team with the ball might be the one that wins it.
The one thing that I'll look for early in this game is how the Vikings' offensive line is performing. If they're getting overran by Seattle, it could be a long night for Cousins. But if that offensive line is able to sustain the pressure and give Kirk Cousins a clean pocket, I think that he'll do well. I like that offense to do well, but it's all about that that front five in terms of how they block the pass rush of Seattle. Seattle, I don't think they'll blitz often. They're not really a blitzing team. They like to sit in zones and hope that their front four get pressure. But I really think that'll be the key. So watch out for that early in this game to see if Minnesota can give Cousins time to throw.
Yeah, it's going to be up to Kirk Cousins to win this game, that's for sure.
I do like the Vikings defense, though, in this game to match up pretty decent. But, you know, Russell Wilson's always a challenge with his ability to move.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know, just these, like, the Vikings don't look the same as a favorite to me as they used to.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely put me as this team might not make the playoffs in this category.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so what do you say we go to a break?
I would love to go to a break.
We come back, we'll talk about the Heisman. We'll talk about what happened. The Heisman Award was given on Saturday. Who won? And what does this mean for the future of that player? Coming up next. We all know for the holidays, it's hard to sit down, read our favorite books, especially if we have to go out and do some Christmas shopping, standing in long lines, driving, commuting. What if we had the opportunity to listen to the books that we loved while we did all these things? Listening to audiobooks inspires us, motivate us, and bring us closer. And there's no better place to listen than Audible. Get your first audiobook free along with two selected Audible original titles and exclusive fitness programs when you start a 30-day trial. So take the time to listen on Audible. Just visit audible.com/GSMCbook or text GSMCbook to 500-500 to get started. Right now, for a limited time, you can get 3 months of Audible for just $6.95 a month. That's more than half off the regular price. Go to audible.com/GSMCbook or text GSMCbook to 500-500 to get started today.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Welcome back, everyone, to the final segment of the GSMC football.
Thank God you didn't say the final countdown stuff again. Like, I'm so happy you didn't.
Do you let me finish saying the words podcast, but okay.
Thank you.
So, I'm kidding. I'm not messing with you on that one. Yes, we are on the final segment of the podcast, and we got to talk about the Heisman winner because we had it on Saturday. The Heisman finalists were all there, all quarterbacks, and the winner was, drum roll,
Kyler Murray.
Thank you.
Kyler Murray wins the Heisman over Haskins and Tua.
The voting was pretty spread apart. Honestly, Tua lost that Heisman because of his play in the SEC title game, to be
probably
honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what cost him. And how good Murray.
Getting hurt, I think,
really. Yeah,
it.
And Murray played really well in his title game, so I think that's what put him over the top.
Yeah,
but he totally earned it.
So now we will see what the future holds for Mr. Kyler Murray. Oh, to have options in his position, because he does. A top baseball prospect and a top football prospect. Man, is that awesome. But with this award, obviously he has conquered Heisman or college football with the Heisman Award, but now we will find out. Do you see him playing baseball, though, or do you see him playing football?
I can see him playing football, totally. I see that. Like, when you look at it, it's better money, it's safer, and then in all intents and purposes, like that's the better for his future, is it not?
It totally depends
for
on
health
what he wants.
For health purposes. I mean,
yeah, I mean, if you're talking about just economically speaking, and you know, with health, with that in the forefront, then absolutely baseball, I think, would be the better option. But if he loves football, I mean, he should play football. He should go where his heart wants to go. And I think that
agree with you. But
I think he can go back to the other one either way. If he goes football first, he can go back to baseball. If he goes baseball first, go back to football.
I'm just saying, if I was in his position, I would try baseball and then go to football, because it just feels like it's the better option for your body, for your health, and financially.
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah, I mean,
that's me personally.
But we will see. I think he does have a future in the NFL if he chooses to go that route. For me, I mean, obviously, a lot of people compare him to Russell Wilson because of the size, the athleticism. I see it. I see that. Mm-hmm. I think he's a more polished thrower of the football than Wilson was at this moment. Not today, like if you compare the two. But when Wilson was coming into the NFL, he had to learn a lot about being a passer in the NFL, which he has definitely polished up over the years. He's become a very accurate passer, a passer who can throw receivers open, where he really wasn't that in the first couple of seasons. So I think Kyler Murray will be successful in whatever he does, because I think he's got the right mentality. He's got the right personality. And, man, he's just a great athlete. I mean, let's be real. The kid can throw a football. He's got a great arm. He's got wheels. He's got a bright future ahead
of him. He's got a nice car. You're right. You have a point there. Had to. But, yeah, this kid has a future in either sport.
I'd love
him
to see go to football, if I'm being honest. Like, I'd rather him go football. Just as a viewer.
Okay, hear me out. He did get drafted by the Oakland A's, who don't pay that much. They're probably one of the lowest budget teams in the league. So maybe if he was drafted by, I don't know, the Yankees or the Giants or teams with these, or the Dodgers or teams with these high budgets, high amount of money, then I would consider it more towards baseball, because they can afford him and they can pay him. But the A's don't pay a lot as much as those guys. So I would definitely consider football if I'm in his position, if I was drafted by the Oakland A's.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, when you're a rookie, I mean, it doesn't really matter. Like, you're going to get paid whatever, right? Like,
I don't know. It just feels like you can get more from other teams. I feel like MLB is one of those things where it's a bidding war, not based on salary cap, but just based off how much we can afford to pay you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I like his future. I just personally, selfishly speaking, I'd love to see what he can do in an NFL field. Also, I think that that would make the NFL draft way more intriguing if Kyler Murray is in the mix. We talk about how this draft coming up is so defensive prevalent. I mean, it's so big on defensive players, especially D linemen, linebackers. It would just be nice to have another quarterback to go along with Justin Herbert in the mix there, right? Like, get another top offensive college player into the draft. Also, if Haskins declares, I think that would be great for the draft too. Because nobody wants to see, like, 13 of the first 15 picks be defensive players. You know what I mean? It's gonna be that way though. Maybe, I don't know. I still don't think
this is a
happen.
Highly, highly touted defensive class. This is probably one of the deepest defensive classes we've ever seen, and that's what's
I get
be.
It. I get, like, the big boards. A lot of these scouts say that 13 out of the top 15 are defense, but I don't think that when draft day comes, 13 out of 15 will be defense. I'd say it's more 50-50 than that.
Okay.
Remember, we got to go through a lot of combine stuff, workouts, things like that. And the fact of the matter is, would you rather pick the fourth or fifth D lineman or the first wide receiver? You know, if you're depending on what team you are. And I think we'll see when the draft comes. I think in the first 20 picks, you'll see 9 offensive players at least.
Okay.
We'll see.
We will definitely see. But again,
as of right now, the consensus is
defense.
All defense all the time.
Well, the thing is like a lot of the first the teams with the first picks are in need of defense more than offense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Definitely.
All right, well, I think we're done for today.
I think we are done, too. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it. Tune us in tomorrow. We'll finish up with the recap of Monday Night Football, and there'll probably be some other stories in football that we want to discuss and have to discuss. And tune us in also for the Fantasy Football Podcast today, as well as sports and basketball tomorrow. Please tune us in. We would love to have you hear us, and we will see you then.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.